Mark chapter number 14. And the setting here is the night of the betrayal. And the Lord had been praying. And while the Lord was praying, his disciples were sleeping. And then the soldiers came. And the Lord told them to arise. And first he said, sleep on. You know, keep going. You know, I don't know how the Lord, he has a sense of humor, I think. You know, he asked, so what? Could you not watch and pray 1 hour with me? And he comes back and they're asleep again. He goes, sleep on now. You know, and then, well, behold, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Here he comes. So, Mark chapter 14, verse 53 is where we want to pick up, start. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. And the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. That throws all the Jehovah Witness nonsense out the window. They said he never claimed to be the Christ, and he did, right there. I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard this blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say that to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. And Father, I do pray, God, that you'd use me in spite of myself. And Father, that you'd fill me with your Spirit. God, speak through me, Lord, and help me to say the things that are pleasing in thy sight. Convey the message, Lord, that you want each and every one to receive here today. And Lord, I do pray that you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, that they not look upon me and listen as if it was me, but rather to hear from you, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the truth of your word. Father, I thank you and ask you to bless and guide and direct today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, it's interesting here when you look in verse 54. And it says, and Peter followed him afar off. Peter had made a decision to follow Jesus, but not too closely. And I believe many a Christian today makes that same decision. They will accept his salvation. They will follow him, but at a measured distance. Don't want to get too close. They don't want to be close enough to be recognized as a Christian. Not close enough to be persecuted for their faith and for godly living. Just showing a casual interest. You know, now and then making an appearance at church. And if the right person asks them about their faith and they feel safe in sharing, then they will testify, oh, I'm a believer too. You think about this for a minute, and probably all of you have dealt with somebody. And I remember working at Davidson's and going up to a man, and I started witnessing to him and talking to him about getting saved, and because I saw his testimony. I heard the words coming out of his mouth. I knew he was lost. I had to be lost. And I went over and began to witness to him, and you know what he says? Oh, I believe in Jesus. I got saved. Oh, really? Now, when? How? What manner? You would have never known it. You say, why? Because he liked Peter and said, I'm going to follow him, but I don't want to get too close. I don't want to be there. And let me say, if you're one of that type here today, then you're treading on very thin ice. Very thin ice. Say, why? Your fall is almost certain. If you're going to put Jesus Christ out at a distance and not allow him to be Lord of your life, to sit on the throne of your heart, then you better get ready for a rough life. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. It's not an easy life. You're going to follow away. You're going to be in a distance. Be ready. I'll tell you another thing. Your life is not pleasing to the Lord. Do you think the Lord takes pleasure in when his children are not anywhere around the house? not in the fold, if you will? When the children are distant, the children are disobedient, the children aren't even listening? Do you think the Father is happy about that? And I'll say this, you'll never experience all that God has for you. God wants to give you an abundant life, a life filled with joy, a life filled with peace and happiness. God has all of that for you, but if you're like Peter, and you say, well, I'll just stay a little at a distance, I'll just stay there, you're in danger. And I say this, you are inherent dangers in anything you do when you follow afar off. Now, they're just it's coming. That's all there is to it. And I want to look at Peter and what happened to him here. Now you notice in verse 54, it says, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. Here he finds himself in a compromising situation. Peter, aren't you a disciple? Aren't you somebody that loved the Lord? Aren't you somebody serving the Lord? Well, why would you be sitting at the fire with the servants of the enemy? Why would you be there? Here he is. He sat with the servants. They're not the servants of the Lord. They're the servants of the high priest. The very people that are mocking and spitting on Jesus Christ and getting ready to kill him. They are looking for witnesses against Jesus. Let me ask you, who in the passage is witnessing for Jesus? Nobody. You remember all the disciples fled. John followed all the way to the cross. Peter followed afar off and into the palace, and now he's in a compromising situation because he's with these people who are looking for witnesses to put Jesus to death. You know, some of these people he is with probably had been involved in seizing Jesus by force, spitting on him, slapping him in the face. I mean, they're the servants of these people. And you're going, okay, so they must have been okay with what was happening. They must have been complicit. I submit to you, it's not a very good group for Peter to be with. Wrong place, compromising situation. A lot of times when people, the saints, first get saved, they don't want to appear to be too fanatical. You know, well, yeah, I'm saved, but I don't want to get too, too crazy. You know, I'm not a religious person. Well, neither are the other saints. It's not religion that saved us. We're not here to do a religious duty. We're here because we love the Lord Jesus Christ, want to worship him, want to sing praises unto him, want to hear his word taught and preached. That's why we're here. You need to look at this thing. So what do? They hang with the old crowd of lost friends. Now listen, I've been saved a long time. I could name you names over the years of people that once served God and got saved, went to church for a while, and now they are so far out there in the world, you'd never even know they were saved. Say, how does that happen? How does that happen? Well, they hang with the old crowd. They listen to them blaspheme the name of their God, to take God's name in vain right in front of them, and they don't say anything. I had a new convert, man, he's gone home to be with the Lord now. His name was Ed Childs. Ed Childs had served about 20 years in the prison, and he was in there. He was part of the Aryan Brotherhood, had tattoos from the neck down. Had long hair when he first walked into the church. Pretty rough looking character. But he had gotten saved in prison. And he started bunking with a guy that believed the King James Bible. And he started reading the Bible. So he was looking for a church. And he came. And so I was doing some work out of my house. And Ed wanted to help. So he came over there. And we're out front working. And here comes a guy. And I know the guy still lives down the road from us. He's got a little ATV that he used to walk his horses with, and he'd bring a horse down the road, and he saw it working, so he stopped. And so I said, "Hello, how you doing?" He goes, "Good." And I said, "Well, that's an interesting way to exercise your horse, you know." And so then he starts talking. Well, then out comes, profanity. Takes God's name in vain. And so I just stepped a little closer to him, you know. And I just said, "Sir, please, I'm a born-again Christian, and please don't take God's name in vain in front of me. I don't appreciate it." And the Bible says God will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And then I stepped back. And going on with the conversation. The guy never took the Lord's name in vain again. Then he drove away. You know what Ed said? Ed looked at me and he said, "Wow, Pastor." He said, you just stopped him right there? And I said, "Well, yeah, I don't want him taking God's name in vain on my property in front of me." And he goes, "Well, I'm sad to say, I'd have probably started talking like he was." But he was honest. And you know, God began to work in his life, changed his life, and he was a good brother. When he passed away, and he had contracted hepatitis and ended up dying before his time, I think. But you say, why? Because some people won't speak up. That's you got to be careful. You know, you don't want to offend somebody. Well, they are offending you, are they not? They're taking God's name in vain in front of you, and you don't say anything? Are you like Peter? I'm kind of comfortable with this crowd, but they don't think like I think, and they don't talk like I talk, so I'm just going to kind of avoid them a little bit, and I won't say anything to out myself as a Christian. And he sits there. A lot of saints do that. They'll listen to all sorts of sin and immoral garbage, and they'll just sit there silent because they don't want to appear to be the oddball. They'll be making vulgar jokes, and you smile just to appear normal. You see, there's got to be a place where you say, no, enough is enough. And you know what happens with Christians that do this? They find themselves faced with all sorts of temptations. The very sins that they were sick of, well, now all of a sudden they're appearing normal. It's not that bad. They start surrounding them. The sin that they had repented of now beckons to them. The sins that they asked Jesus to save them from will now be their downfall. And you say, why? How are you going to be a good testimony for Jesus Christ when you are living like you were lost? Hanging with lost, doing what's lost. I understand at work you got to be around lost people, but you don't have to be like lost people. You need to be different. You need to be a different person. The very vows that they made to the Lord were now going to be forsaken. Peter's going to do that. You'll watch this stuff happen. You know what ends up happening? They hang with these people long enough and their conscience becomes hardened. And that still small voice of the Lord's Spirit speaking that brings conviction, it just gets more and more distant. And they begin to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I submit to you, it's not a good group for a Christian to be with. That's why I believe the Lord compels his children to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith my God, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, I'll be your father. You look at that thing and you're going, what does God say? Don't do this. And who is he using as an example? Peter, the Apostle Peter. And we'll see this thing as it plays out a little bit more. You know what he was looking for? Verse 54, it says there, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. He was seeking comfort. Cold. It's cold. I'm cold. Oh, they got a nice fire. I'll just go hang out with them for a little while. He wanted to warm himself. A fire set by the enemies of the Lord. Just come. Come on. Hey, look, we got a fire going. You can come over here and be with us. Warm yourself. Get comfortable. He had no right to be comfortable. His Lord and Savior was in there had already been taken captive and was being mistreated and beaten. Well, where was Peter? He's out there trying to be comfortable. Peter seems to have forgotten that it was Jesus that taught him about love and sacrifice. He seems to have forgotten that it was Jesus that gave him spiritual power. It was Jesus who sent him forth to preach, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper. It was Jesus that took him to the mountaintop. It was Jesus that allowed him to walk on the water. He forgot all that. Well, I need to get comfortable. I need to get over here. Too many Christians today seek their comfort from the world and their pleasure from the world. They seek to it also for their consolation. Oh, you poor thing. I understand. You know, I had the guy that I was trying to witness to later on tell me one time, well, it's hard to be a Christian. And I said, only if you're trying to do it by works. I said, if you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, it's not hard at all. If you allow him to lead and guide in your life, you're not going to have any issues at all. You'll be glad. You say, what did you have to do? I had to make sure I lived right, did right in front of that person because that person was lost, convincing himself he was saved. But there were others that gave me a testimony of salvation. And one guy, he went some to church down on 69 down there and was like the sound man or something for a thing. And we went elk hunting one time together. And so it was like the last night, we're going to stop and get something to eat before we went home. And the only place up in Ash Fork was a place that served alcohol. Well, I don't drink. So we're sitting at the table. And there was a lost guy with us and this guy that professed to be saved. And so they both order alcohol. Well, I'm sitting there, okay, why is he drinking? Not only did he drink, but he started getting very angry and nasty and mean. And words were coming out of his mouth. vulgarity, profanity. I'm looking, how can this guy claim he's saved? Well, the problem was is that he wasn't in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. He was in a feel-good church. And, you know, they're under grace, right? You live how you want. Well, that's not what the Bible says. So off he goes. He hangs with that crowd and ends up, I remember seeing him at work, hearing him tell dirty jokes and things like that. And I thought to myself, I can't be a Christian. But you ask him, he'll tell you how he got saved, when he got saved, and yeah, I know I'm saved, I know I'm saved. And when he's around Christians, he knows how to talk. When he's around lost people, he's like that. You know what he's doing? He's following the Lord at a distance. I want to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church and still claim I'm a Christian. But that's not what happens. You end up being more lost than good, more righteous and pleasing to God. You know what they do? They take their consolation from the world. A lot of them go back to the bars. They go back to the nightclubs. They go back to the ways of before. And you say, well, Christians don't do that. Yes, they do. You say, why? Part of it is loneliness. They feel like there's a void in their life. There's an emptiness. They're trying to fill it. Well, the Lord wants to fill that void. He'd be more than willing to do it. But they're not coming to the Lord to get the void filled. They're going to go to what they're familiar with. Do you remember after the crucifixion when they buried the Lord? What did Peter say? I go a-fishing. What did he do for his whole life, his career before Jesus came? He was a fisherman. He went back to what he knew. And that's what people do. You watch this stuff and you're going, hey, you're making a bad choice here. But they seek that comfort. They'll look to the world for their guidance. They'll go to Dr. Phil, Dr. Lawyer, feel good preachers, sermons online. And then they'll read some book somewhere and they think they've forgotten who it is they call Lord. You know, why do you do this? It's the danger of following afar off. You got to be real careful about putting too much distance between you and the Lord. I want you to look down verse 66. And Peter was beneath in the palace. There cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And when he went out into the porch, the cock crew. Now, I want you to see, not only is he in a compromising situation, but he's in a place where choices are made. Choices are made. Peter has a chance to testify. This girl comes over and she said, and thou also was with him. And instead of saying, you're right, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I made a commitment to follow him. I'm with him all the way. No, he doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say it. It's interesting when you think about it. He has a chance to stand up and be counted for Christ, but he won't do it. And it's quite a difference as when he was standing next to Jesus. Remember in John, it said that he came in the garden and they came to take him and Peter drew a sword. Remember? And he cut off the servant's ear. You know, I think he was trying to cut his head off and the guy ducked and cut his ear off. And you say, wow, that's something. Peter did that? Oh, yeah. That's when Jesus was standing right there. And Jesus, I think, offended him because he said, put up thy sword. And then he picked up the guy's ear and put it back on his head. And he said, put up thy sword. And Peter's like, well, you're the one who told me to get the sword. Well, why would you tell me to get the sword and then not let me use the sword? And now I feel stupid because, he doesn't say all that stuff, but you and I know how that goes. You think those things, and you go, I thought I was doing what you wanted me to do, and now here I am, and he got upset, no doubt. But now, he also remember back in Matthew, that the Lord said, this night thou shalt deny me before the cock crow. He told him that. Peter said, though I should die with thee, I'll not deny thee. Oh, really? It's the same guy. A guy that stood up against a man, pulled a sword, ready to fight, now cowering before a woman, a maid, asking him a question. See the difference? You see, when you're with Jesus and close to Jesus, you're bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. But when you got too much distance, all of a sudden you got to rely on yourself. Now he runs from a maid, afraid to testify to her. What a thing. You know, Peter gets another opportunity in a minute. But you know what happens? When you're close to the Lord, you have no problem standing for him. But once you make a decision to follow far off, then you'll think twice before you testify. The Lord put somebody right in your path for you to tell them about Jesus Christ and how they can be saved. And you go, well, he looks big and nasty. Well, she looks pretty ornery. I don't know if they're going to like it. And you back off because you don't have the confidence in the presence of the Lord in your life. You know, when the Lord's with you, you go ahead and you witness to, and the Lord says to witness. If he tells you to speak to that person, you don't know. He's probably already prepared that person's heart. And they're longing for somebody to come and tell them. The Lord says, go tell them about me. But you're not close enough to trust the Lord. You haven't been listening to him like you should. And so you won't. You won't even hand him a track. You'll walk the other direction. You'll hesitate. You may even lie about your faith. No, I would never. Oh, you might. You might. If people put you on the spot like they did Peter. You know what he ends up doing? He gets another chance in verse 69. And it says, and a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And again he denied it. He denied it again. You're going, how can you, Peter? How can you be that guy? Well, you've been too far away. Each lie gets a little easier. Each time he denies Christ, he moves yet farther away. Hey, you're one of them. No. I don't know what you're talking about. You're mistaken. Oh, no. He's one of them. I know he's one of them. Look, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm backing away. Another chance comes. You know, it's easy. Each lie gets easier. Each time he denies Christ, he moves farther away. And so it is with any sin that so easily besets us. You know, it's easy to go back to drugs after you've been off drugs if you're not walking with the Lord. It's easy. It only takes one time. Only takes one drink of alcohol. Only takes one hit off a joint. One drag on a cigarette. You're right back to where you were. You don't want to go that way, you say. But then you took that first drag, you took that first hit, you told that first lie, you denied him. He comes again, verse 70, and he denied again. And a little while after that, they that stood by again said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Who would have ever thought Peter would have got that far? I don't know him. Hey, you want to hear me cuss and swear? I'll do. I'll tell you. Blah, 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 blah. And the people, whoa, man. Well, we must have been mistaken. Good. No Christian talks like that, do they? You know, Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. They try to pull you in. They try to get you. These people are working him. He got in a compromising situation. Now they are forcing him to make choices. And the choices he is making are not good choices. Why? Because the first decision he made was to follow afar off. Don't want to get too close. They might start coming after me. Scared. Amazing, isn't it? You see what's happening? He made a choice to follow afar off. Because of that choice, he has grown weak in his faith. That's when the devil moves in to destroy him. Now, this is the same guy that said, Lord, if it be thou bidst me, come to thee on the water. And Jesus said, come, and Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. You would have thought that would have been a life-changing event right there. How about up at the Mount of Transfiguration when him and got to go up there and Peter and John and James and John went up there and they got up there and the Lord was transfigured before them and they saw his glory. And a voice comes from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You would have thought after those two events right there, Peter would have never denied Jesus Christ. But he did. But he did. I want you to notice the consequences of his sin. In verse 72, and the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. The word that had brought him such joy in the past. Remember when all the disciples from Jesus began to flee in John 6:66? And they left, that time many of his disciples left and followed him no more. And he turned to the 12 and said, will ye go away also? What did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Man. You've got it, Lord. We got nowhere else to go. You're the one. We know it. That word brought him peace to his soul. The excitement that welled up within him when Jesus called his name. Man, hey, Simon, why don't you guys come? We gotta go in here. This young lady's dead, and we gotta raise her from the dead and get her something to eat. Come on with me. He saw that. He was one of the apostles that the Lord gave power to be able to perform miracles before the Jews to prove they were the disciples of Christ. That word, he had it. Now that same word brings conviction. Have you ever noticed how a backslidden Christian avoids church? They've gotten away from God. They're not following him anymore. They've decided they're going to do their own thing. You know what? The first thing they want to do is stay out of church. You know why? Because of the word of God. Amen. It brings conviction. It brings the truth into a situation that they have fabricated in their mind to justify their actions. Happens over and over again. You see it? They avoid prayer meetings. Don't want to come to prayer meeting. Why? Well, something about when you get on your knees and start praying, or you sit in your seat and you bow your head and you say, Father. There's a time there where you're not just communicating, but the Bible tells us in Romans 8 that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's times when you go to pray and you say, Father, and you can't say anything else. You just sit silent for a moment and you just stay in an attitude of prayer, and there's a communication going on there that you know nothing about. And God is doing it. And then you get the liberty to start making your supplications and your petitions made known unto God. That's when that real prayer begins. And, you know, a person that's following God afar off doesn't want to pray. They don't want to communicate with God. They try to avoid his word. They try to avoid being around people that love him. They try to stay out of church. Watch it happen over and over again. They're always quiet during testimony time. Is this over yet? Can I go now? Boy, as soon as they bow for prayer, we're out of here. Yeah. You know what Peter lost? He lost his faith. What does the Bible say about faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The very thing that he needs is the word of God. And that's the same with any Christian that says, I don't want to get too fanatical. I'm going to follow it at a distance. I don't want to be like some of these people. And they make that kind of decision. They stay away from God. And you know what happens? They're not in the book and they don't have any faith. And what does Hebrews 11:6 say? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Peter lost his faith. Peter lost his fellowship. It's interesting when you look at the epistles written by John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and 1 and 2 Peter. You look at those epistles. What does John write about? That we may have fellowship with him. And he writes about fellowship. What does Peter write about? The trial of your faith, the temptations, those things that are hard to be understood. Peter didn't have the closeness and walk that John had with the Lord, because John just says, boy, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Man, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And boy, the peace of God that passeth all. And he get talking about all this stuff. And it's good fellowship sitting with the Lord. At the Last Supper, it was John that leaned his head upon Jesus' breast. And said, who is it, Lord? Yeah, when are you going to betray thee? And they're all, is it me? Is it I? And John looks over and says, who is it? He knew it wasn't him. Look at that thing. You know what else he lost? He lost his character. When we look at Peter, we don't really remember him all the good things. We remember when he denied the Lord. And you say, well, why is that? I think that's why it's recorded for us, to learn from it. Don't follow afar off. He lost his testimony. Peter, you once said this, this, and this, but you didn't mean it. Though I die with thee, I'll not deny thee. Oh, you didn't mean that, did you? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we are sure that thou art that Christ. Oh, really? Well, you weren't so sure that night, were you? You see, he lost it. He lost the peace that was in his soul. He said he went out and wept. And, you know, another place it tells us that, you know, when the cock crew, Jesus looked upon him. He had been being brought out. They're going to take him over to crucify him. They're going to get that thing done. They're going to take him to Pilate's place. And you look at that thing, and he looked upon Peter and said, and he went out and wept bitterly. And you know, the idea is sometimes we are, and every Christian in this room is prone to this, you are going to fail God. You're going to let him down. And you may justify it. You may convince yourself that you're right and you understand what you did. And you could even be sorry for it. But doesn't really hit you until that one day when you realize that you don't have the joy and the peace and the fellowship with God that you once had and you really long for it. And you know what? That'll bring you to that point of weeping. Get down and cry out to God and just call out to him. And you know what the great thing about all this is? Our God is merciful. And you might be far away right now, but you don't have to stay there. You remember when the Lord went to Galilee, he tells him, he said, go tell thy disciples and Peter. Yeah, go get him. I've got something for him to do. And the Lord gets him right back where he belongs. And you remember the Lord appeared on the shore. And Peter, what did he do? He was naked out there in his fisherman's boat. And he threw himself in the water, wrapped his coat around him. And then he came in and said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Jesus said, I got some food for you here. Why don't you come sit? And then he asked him three times, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yeah, Lord. Three times. And then the Lord walks with him and gives him a commission, a work to do. And you say, God can do that for you. Yes, he can. You might have made a decision to walk afar off, but don't mean you got to stay there. The danger is when you keep moving away. You will fall. Peter did. Are you going to say you had a relationship with God as tight as Peter did? Boy, you look at that thing. Okay. Don't go away. Don't keep the distance. You know what you want to do? You want to draw nigh. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You need to make a decision. I'm not going to stay at this distance any longer. I'm going to move in. I want God to give me everything he has. I'll give you a little illustration. The shepherd has to watch out for his sheep. And you know, the sheep, they begin to recognize the shepherd. They recognize him as their leader, as their guide, as their everything, protector. And so when a wolf would be in the midst of the flock, they begin to call their sheep into themselves. They call them in. And those sheep begin to come tighter and tighter and tighter and closer to the shepherd. And pretty soon that wolf is not, he's kind of getting pressed upon and pushed in, and he would rise up and walk on the back of the sheep, and that would expose him. Say, there he is. We'll get rid of him now. And you know, the Lord wants you as close to him as he can get you. He is the good shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. If you're saved here, you're born again. And you know what he wants? He wants you nice and close. You know where the safest place to be is? Right at the shepherd's feet. You just stay close to his feet. You'll be safe. You don't have to worry about anything coming and getting you. You're going to be right there. And as you're close to him, you're in the safest place you could possibly be. I hope you'll think about that this morning. There's dangers in following afar off. If you're not close to the Lord Jesus Christ like you should be, let me just ask you a couple things here. Do you know for sure that you have been born again, that you are saved, and that you're going to heaven? Do you know for sure? Not talking about baptism, not talking about church membership, not talking about any kind of sacraments. I'm talking about a time in your life when you got on your knees and you told the Lord you were a sinner, but you believed Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins, was buried, rose again, and you asked him to save your soul. You got that time? Then you're in his flock. You're there. You're part of that. And the Lord can do something with you. Now, after that time, did you ever come to that place where you said, I'm just going to surrender all? Lord, all that I have is thine. We sang, Oh, to be like thee for Sunday school. All that I have, all that I am, I'm just going to place it at your feet, Lord. It's all yours. Just use me. Do something with me. And that's when that peace of God that passeth all understanding will come. That's when the presence of God will be so real. There'll be times when you're singing a hymn in a church or somebody's doing a special, and you can't stop the tears of gratitude and joy from flowing. You can't stop it. You can't stop maybe saying, Glory to God! Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. There'll be times when that moving is coming. Do you have that? Is that you today? If not, please, please make a decision to stay close. Get close. Stay close. And don't wander, don't follow afar off. There's just too many dangers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace now, Lord. And during this time of invitation, Lord, I can't make people come to the altar. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But if they're serious about being close to you, Lord, if they're serious about having you as Lord of their life and not just their Savior, then, Lord, help them to come. Help them to get on their knees and pray at this altar and just ask you, Lord, to draw them as close as you can to them and help them to surrender everything they have to you so that, God, you can bless them abundantly and give them that peace and joy that they're missing in their life right now. God, I pray that you'd help and guide and direct in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. 297, stand. 397, excuse me. 397. Lord spoke to your heart. Altar's open. You can come talk to him.